Hello and welcome back to the Loose Heads podcast in association with Talking Rugby Union. And once again, it's another special Loose Heads podcast this week. We're joined by Rob, Mark and Dave, as always, sat at home in our lockdown. But more importantly, sorry about that, Rob, Mark and Dave, we're joined by Wasps' Tom Cruise over Zoom. So Tom, cheers for joining us.
Yeah, not a problem. What an introduction that is. Happy to be here, lads.
And obviously, it's been quite a few months with you, Tom. Of course, all that's going on in rugby at the moment, we've talked to Bear off air about self-isolation and what you've been up to, but you've obviously been juggling twins as well. I mean, what's life been like for you over the last sort of few months?
Carnage. No, it's been good fun. It's been good fun, yeah. Twins arrived mid-December. So actually, we were saying before, weren't we, this lockdown's actually given me a bit of opportunity to spend a proper bit of time with them all. So yeah, it's been hard work, but it's been good fun as well.
Yeah, and I've seen you been practicing your singing and drawing the Loose Heads video the other week.
Yeah, it's good fun. It's good fun. I think little things like that make a big difference, don't they? Put a smile on people's faces. And I actually didn't know who was going to be involved in it, so it was good to see, you know, so many of the lads, the rugby boys, get involved with that, and hopefully, you know, it did what we wanted it to do.
Yeah, because I think I said a message on the Loose Heads Instagram saying you were probably up there, Cruzy, in terms of the best singer. I don't know if Rob, Dave and Mark agree with me.
I think you're spot on there. Yeah. I think quite a few of our followers agreed, to be honest.
That's made my day, that has. However, we need to have a word with DTH, because his first video was brilliant and his second one, honestly, I've watched it about 20 times.
Now, good stuff, Cruzy. And obviously, we've got you on the podcast to talk about your involvement with Loose Heads first and foremost, but obviously we'll have a chat about your route to the top of the game. I know we've done a couple of things in the past for Talking Rugby Union with you in terms of your route to where you are now. And more importantly, we'll be discussing your all-time 15 to take on the Martians on Mars. So I know Mark's looking forward to that one.
Could be a few rogue decisions out there, so prepare yourself, lads.
Well, we had John Hardy on at the start of the week, and he came up with his own team. It wasn't the best team ever. It was sort of his own team that can actually get the win over there. So it was quite refreshing to see that.
Yeah, I had a little listen. Actually, Rob sent it over to me. I had a listen yesterday. And yeah, I was interested to see. He took the tour part of that question very seriously, didn't he?
Got to get your priorities in order, haven't you?
I mean, if it's going to take you that long to get over to Mars, then I think you do have to think about the company that you're going over with, don't you?
Exactly. So, first of all, Tom, we'll talk about obviously your involvement with Loose Heads. I know we know you from the Northwest, Tom, myself, Rob and Mark definitely do. I mean, how did your involvement come around with Loose Heads? Was it you speaking to Rob and Mark initially?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like most things nowadays, it was a social media sort of engagement at first. I've seen, obviously, being through the same, from the same area, like you just alluded to then, I've seen that, I think, was Sam James the original ambassador, am I right in saying that?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so I've seen a few of the things that you'd done with him, and then obviously his brother Luke as well. And then from that, just sort of created a bit of a relationship with Rob, who eventually got in contact with me and just asked me to be an ambassador. I think we should probably start by saying that it's something that's probably quite close to my heart, just through the experiences within my family and whatnot. And that's why I sort of snapped Rob's hands off when he gave me the opportunity to be an ambassador. And I think, like you guys will obviously know, the charity itself has gone from strength to strength, hasn't it, recently?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you pick up on that, Tom, about it sort of to do with your family experiences, because we did something with one of the other ambassadors, Nikki Cowell, who her whole reason for joining Loose Heads was because of what she's been through and what her family's been through. So was that sort of the real driving force behind you getting involved with the guys then?
Yeah, it was definitely. I think one thing you notice with it, and obviously the big thing with what it tries to promote is talking, isn't it? And talking to people. And one thing it does is when you do speak to people, you realise that everyone's in the same boat. And I think you guys using the rugby players as your sort of scope to show that people that maybe you wouldn't expect to be vulnerable are vulnerable. gives these people who maybe idolise us rugby players, gives them the opportunity to kind of express themselves and show that it's not just them that are going through it. These people who look like they're on top of the world are also going through these things as well.
Mm-hmm. And on our first podcast, Tom, we talked about sort of the influence social media has and how Dave, Rob and Mark use social media in such a positive way to promote mental health awareness. But as a player, you probably have got that inside knowledge that social media can be great, but it also can have its bad points as well.
Yeah, it can be a pretty brutal place. I think, especially as an athlete, and, you know, obviously things don't always go to plan as an athlete, and you're almost there just to be fired shots at, aren't you, at times. And one thing as well, in particular with Instagram, is that people like to paint the perfect picture of what their life looks like, don't they? Mm. And I think we all know, don't we, deep down, that isn't what life's like at all. So obviously engaging in conversations with people and sharing experiences sort of breaks down those perfect pictures, and you sort of get to realise that everyone's going through the similar sort of things.
And Rob, for you, obviously with Tom being a local lad to where we're from, it must have been pleasing to get him on board originally.
Yeah, absolutely. With Cruzy being from sort of round our ends, we sort of knew him anyway through friends, through Sam. So yeah, got in touch with Cruzy right at the start, really, and we sort of asked if he'd help out with a few little bits here and there, and Cruzy being the character he is, he jumped at that and said he wanted to help out in any way he could, really. So yeah, when it got to the point of looking for extra ambassadors, additional ambassadors, we asked Cruzy, and he said he'd be delighted to sort of join up and join forces, really.
Yeah, Mark, I mean, you must sort of echo what Rob says there, really, because I know how passionate you are about the local game from where we're from, so it's great to have a Northwest lad on board.
Oh, totally. Tom's a legend around here, and he knows that. He'd be magnanimous enough to say, no, I'm not really, but he is. He's very well known to all the rugby clubs around here. It saddens me that if he won an England top, he'd put it at Stockport, but I can live with that for a while. But he is. And just going back on what you just said, Chris, about loose heads and, you know, the ability for us to connect with these rugby players and use that as a medium to help some people out there who are struggling. Tom's been at the forefront of that. He's a very modest chap, but for 80 minutes on a Saturday in normal times, he's a very modest chap. But his ability to talk to the truth to the common man is brilliant for us. And every time Rob picks up the phone to Tom, he's always willing to help and add his weight to the effort, which I don't think we've ever really thanked him. So maybe this is our opportunity. He's a cracking bloke. I wouldn't like to meet him around the blind side, but thankfully I won't.
I'm usually lingering on the wing, mate. Don't worry about that.
And Dave, just to pick up on what Mark said there, that, you know, Tom has been a crucial part of what's gone on, but it's not just Tom at Wasps. And that we've seen recently, you know, a lot of his teammates have been getting involved. And I know you guys were down there for Brad Shields' event, and we've spoken about it previously, Dave, but that must have been such a brilliant feeling to see all the Wasps lads, including Cruzy, down there.
Oh, mate, honestly, to see kind of pretty much the whole squad turn out for that was absolutely incredible. And sort of the support from the guys posting on social media, having, you know, friends, family, children turn up, and kind of a lot of the players were also kind of putting their own hands in their pockets to sort of help support it. And obviously having Cruzy there kind of leading the ceremony as it was, you know, was absolutely brilliant. I think he's definitely got a future in commentary if that's the route he wants to go down.
You couldn't shut me up once you pull out a Sky Sports microphone in my hand, could you?
You're a natural, mate.
Very kind, mate, very kind.
Just on the Wasp stuff, Tom, and Rob will probably be able to answer this as well, but, you know, you've obviously come into loose heads quite early, Tom, but did you sort of speak to your teammates about it, or was it kind of a mixture of you and Rob doing it together to get the likes of, you know, Lee Maswapawanga, et cetera, involved?
No, I think, as you guys will probably be aware, having, you know, running it, they actually approached me once they saw that I became an ambassador. Brad wanted to shave his beard off and was looking for, you know, a good reason to do it. And he sort of approached me and said asked about loose heads and what they do and whether it'd be a good idea. And also same with Lima. Obviously two guys that are pretty passionate about the mental health thing as well. So you can just see how it gets momentum behind it quite easily.
Was that a good positive for you, Rob, that, you know, you've had, you do the work, you get the ambassadors in, but to have someone like Tom on board who was willing to share what he was doing with loose heads to his teammates?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just goes to show with getting Lima and Brad involved as well. It's just great to have good people who are on the same page as us and they just get it. And that's what we're trying to do, you know, build a community of people who are there to make noise about mental health.
One thing we've found, Chris, is that when we were speaking to the likes of Sam James, who's a great friend of ours, and his brother Luke, and these people in their professional setting, it comes over quite strong to us that when you're a professional athlete, you're one injury away from mortality, and as a player, and I get that very strong sense of, look, lads, we've got to look after each other. When we did the Brad Shields Day, Dave and I journeyed down, not really knowing how big or how little or how impressive it would be. We really didn't know, and through the likes of people like Cruzy, who just gelled everybody together, you sense at Wasps definitely. There's this massive togetherness between the players. You know, you've got Tom Willis, who for me is one of the best unrecognised open sides in the country, joining in, laughing, giggling, holding children. Just the togetherness of that squad is something to behold. Their results on the field are no accident, I don't think. I think it's as a result of that togetherness. And you can't fudge that. And I was quite humbled to be able to play a small part in giving them all something to do for a Friday afternoon. It was good fun.
Tom, I've seen sort of off the back of that event with Brad, the mental health awareness is never going to go away. And I know you were involved with the hashtag Make the Call campaign on Twitter a few weeks ago. And during this time, it is tough for people because, you know, you're self-isolating. People may be on their own at the moment. So was it important for you and the club to get involved in that on social media?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's been a great initiative and it's really caught some momentum as well. I think the one thing that we tried to target with that was the sort of more elderly and more vulnerable people, because obviously the government's come out and said that you can have this, you know, you're allowed to go to the shops for anything that's, you know, necessary, or you're allowed to go for one bit of exercise out the house. But there's elderly people and there's people who are ill who can't leave the house. They literally have to isolate in the house. And I think it's for 12 weeks. Mm. Some of these people are going to be really lonely. So it's so important that they get a conversation. And I thought that actually getting a conversation with people who they look up to and pay money to go and watch at the weekend would be a great way to sort of return a bit of our the support that they've shown us.
Yeah, definitely, Tom. And Dave, we've spoken about it and the number of the podcasts we've done so far that clubs need to, it's great to see clubs taking that role and coming up with these initiatives. So it's something that we want to keep seeing happening. And if Wasps and people like Tom can drive that, it's only going to help everybody who may be suffering with mental health problems, not just young rugby players.
No, exactly. And I think kind of Wasps are really helping lead the field in that at the moment. I mean, we were kind of invited down to an event with Alex Reader a couple of months back that the club hosted. And then, like you say, they've done the Make the Call campaign. Sort of hopefully it's sort of leading the charge for a lot of other clubs to now sort of start getting more involved and really bring in sort of mental health awareness to the forefront of sort of the rugby consciousness.
Couldn't agree more with you. With you there, Dave, and obviously all the great work Tom's been doing for Loose Heads has been well received, and I know you guys are very thankful, as Mark has alluded to, about the work Tom is doing for Loose Heads. So we will move on now, though, to Tom's playing career, and if you don't mind, Tom, and obviously, as I said right at the top of the podcast, you were based in the Northwest to begin with. I know Stockport is a club very close to your heart. So what was that time like for you in the National Leagues? Because I know we've spoken about it before as well.
It was absolutely brilliant, to be honest. I do you know what? I actually played a few games at Wilmslow before I went to Stockport. I used to work for the high school after I finished college. And what I used to do is I used to flick the lights on, because it turned into a leisure centre at night. I'd flick the lights on a Tuesday and sneak off and go and train with Wilmslow and then come back, turn the lights off and go home. That job didn't last very long. But yeah, no, I played my Colts rugby at Stockport. So obviously, inevitably, I ended up playing in the seniors there. And I absolutely loved it. I think they were in North One when I first started playing there, and I was a loose head. And yeah, just, you can't beat proper local rugby. It's absolutely brilliant. There's obviously a few older boys there who I still speak to today, who took me under their wing. The camaraderie that you get from at those clubs are absolutely second to none. It's literally playing rugby with your mates and having a beer at the weekend. It's absolutely brilliant.
Mark, you must be surprised to hear Cruzy was a Wilmslow boy before a Stockport boy then.
Well, shock horror, our friend, our local friendly photographer, Nick Jones, sent me a picture of Cruzy in a Wilmslow top, which I'm prepared to share with anyone.
I was excited back then as well.
And just in terms of the progression then, Cruzy, I mean, you've taken the steps to where you have been now, and it seems like from an outsider looking in that you've gone through the levels and it's been sort of an easy decision for you to make your moves to where you are now. Is that what it's been like for you?
Look, I look back now and I sort of finished university and didn't have a clue what I was doing. I never dreamt about playing Premiership rugby. It didn't even come onto my radar of thoughts at all. It just sort of happened so quickly. I signed for Macclesfield one summer from Stockport. And then while that was happening, I played a game for Cheshire against Lancashire and got picked up by Pete Anglesey for Sale. So I had to fight like hell to get out of my Macclesfield contract because they didn't want to let me go. And then just like that, sort of ended up at Sale for a year. Released by Sale because I wasn't good enough at that point. I'm not afraid to say that. It's a pretty big jump going from National 2 to the Premiership, I'll tell you that for free. And then ended up at Rotherham for 2 years, which was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. Obviously met Lee Blackett at that point, who is now, well, he's now actually acting DOR at WASP at the moment. And obviously that relationship is probably why I ended up at WASP in the first place.
Yeah, Rob, did you ever see Tom play when he was around our end?
I think I watched you at Edgeley Park. I don't know when it was. Years and years and years ago. But yeah, I did. I saw you play once at Edgeley Park when we used to go
in the sevens.
I think it was in the sevens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sevens player.
I've played in that sevens tournament. I'm three times now. Three times. Once for Sale and twice for Wasps. And it's actually brilliant, you know. It's such good fun, but in answer to your question, no, not a sevens player.
And you know, you mentioned you moved to Rotherham there, Tom, and you said before that you never really dreamt of playing rugby, you know, it was never really on your radar. But when you were at Rotherham and you were with Lee, did you start to realise your ambition that maybe you could make this into a career for yourself?
Yeah, I think what happened was when I got released from Sale, you kind of had two decisions to make, don't you? You either feel sorry for yourself and think, oh, that's it, I've blown it, I'm not good enough. Or you have a bit of chip on your shoulder and you just attack it. And I went into that pre-season with Rotherham and I just sort of, shackles were off, just gave it everything I had. That's definitely, without doubt, the fittest I've ever been after that pre-season. And I still reckon, to this day, the first three or four games that I played for Rotherham is the best rugby I've ever played. I think it's probably the most motivated I've ever been to play rugby. And I think definitely getting knockbacks has helped my career, you know, no end.
You've always heard you speak so highly about your time with Rotherham, but you do really look back on it with fondness, don't you?
Yeah, I think that's it's a shame to see where they are now. But that's a proper rugby club that rugby club right in the middle of Rotherham's sort of community, where they all go down on a Saturday and have a beer and watch the lads play. And then you sort of mix with them in the bar afterwards. Yeah, we were so close. They don't have a lot of money. So, you know, there's no sort of, no one's better than anyone else. You're all in it together. And my time there, we finished in the playoffs both years I was there. And I put that down to the fact that, one, he recruited very well, Lee did. But at the same time, you know, we were all so close and so tight because, you know, there wasn't much to do. So we just sort of got so close with each other, and the camaraderie was probably the best I've ever been involved in. And it obviously led to us being a great side as well.
And just for Mark and Dave and Rob as well, that you must have played with players and seen players who have been in the same environments as Tom, and they've managed to take that step up to the next level. I mean, how important is it, those first levels as rugby, do you think, in terms of progression?
Well, my last season of playing proper rugby was Charlie Mulcrone's first season, an old teammate of Cruzy. I mean, the lad was 7 stone, wet through, and he had a heart of a lion, and he was destined for great things, age 17, with me pretending in the changing room that I was going to be the enforcer looking after him. How pathetic's that? And Charlie, like Tom, just punches massively above his weight and always did, and he just had a sixth sense as to how to play the game. His old fella, Paddy, and Fergus, you know Fergus very well, Cruzy, but Paddy would have brought them both up the right way. He just knew when trouble was coming and knew what to do. And he got out of trouble so well. On the pitch and in the bars, I would add.
That's the Irish in him, that, I think.
But you would have played with him, Tom, at Rotherham, I'd have thought.
Yeah, he's actually a big part of why we were so tight. He was our captain that year. He left for Worcester the year after. I agree with you, a brilliant player and, yeah, such a good leader. And I think the good thing about, or the great thing about Charlie, is he's a great leader on the pitch, but off the pitch. You talk about, you know, values and whatnot. Don't get me wrong, we were having a beer after every game, but we were turned up on a Monday and putting it all out there again. And I think he probably did get that attitude from being in the lower leagues and having to earn the right to sort of build his way into the Championship and then the Premiership.
Yeah.
Just how important then do you think it is to kind of have a really strong second tier and third and fourth tier to sort of English and wider rugby?
Look, for me, I'm its biggest advocate because I think I've played in every single league there is below, pretty much, from North One all the way up to the Premiership. And I think there's such good players that don't get spotted in those leagues. And it's heartbreaking to see. You know, I've got so many mates in the Championship who are obviously going through their struggles at the moment. They had funding cut, didn't they, by the RFU, and then now obviously all this is going on again, you know, potentially struggle to survive. And it's such a shame that you see all these great players just sort of slip through the hands, because, you know, if they got the funding right, surely, you know, we've got a big enough talent pool in this country to create even more better players, and it'll only sort of benefit the national team as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you there, Cruzy. And that must have been maybe part of the reason why it might have been, I'm not sure if it was, but it might have been a tough decision for you to leave Rotherham behind for the Premiership in that shot, maybe with London Irish, or was the law of a top flight team maybe the deciding factor for you?
Yeah, it was. I think I went to Rotherham wanting to get back into the Premiership. I think that has to be your goal. I mean, you can probably make a half-decent career playing in the Championship, but if you offer any of those players a Premiership contract, they're probably going to take it. So, yeah, as much as I loved my time at Rotherham and I'm so happy it happened, my goal while I was there was definitely to get into the Premiership.
Yeah, because I was going to say, was the Premiership always the end goal for you when you realised that actually this was going really well at Rotherham, I was loving my time here and I could potentially go further on?
I think so. I think when I got to Rotherham originally, I just wanted to solidify sort of my status as a professional rugby player. And then as soon as I started to play quite well and get a bit of momentum behind me and a bit of sort of respect media-wise and exposure and whatnot, then I started to realise that, yeah, I can get into the Premiership. And thankfully, that call came from Irish. I actually got a call from Leicester in my first year and I couldn't get out of my contract, or I wasn't allowed to get out of my contract, which again, like I said before, I'm happy about, because I think I probably did need a second year just to sort of get more experience playing full-time rugby. So if I went to Leicester, God knows what would have happened.
I don't want to put you on the spot here, Cruzy, but would you have gone if they had said, yes, you can get out your contract? Or?
Yeah, I think so, just because I was desperate to get into the Premiership. But like I say, in hindsight, the best thing for me was to get another year or so in the Championship, just to sort of, I suppose, knock my body in and get used to it. And I don't really fancy a load of mauling sessions with those Leicester lads on a Monday, to be honest. So I've stayed safe. It's fine.
So London Irish then, you know, you, like you said there, it was Premiership was always sort of an end goal and an ambition of yours, Cruzy. I mean, what was your time like there? Because they're a club that do have big ambitions, and obviously they're now back in the Premiership and will be staying in there for next season.
Yeah, I look back at my time at Irish sort of really frustrated. It was a World Cup year, so it was the old 17-week pre-season or whatever it is. Got myself obviously fit in that time, ready to go. And the first play of the game, I was starting against Harlequins in a pre-season game. I've fractured my eye socket and had to come off. So I've done 17 weeks of pre-season, fractured my eye socket, out for 8 weeks. And I suppose that kind of sums up my whole time at Irish, to be honest. But obviously got my first sort of exposure into the Premiership, which is brilliant. My first Premiership start, can any of you guess this, where my first Premiership start was?
Where?
Yeah.
Sale?
No. Think more outside the box.
Clement Laverne.
New York.
Yeah,
against Saracens.
Oh yeah, of course they had that. Was that the first time they did that?
Yeah. I think it might have been.
Yeah. How was that experience?
Nerve-wracking. I think I was due to be on the bench, and Dave Pacey's missus was pregnant, heavily pregnant and due, so he couldn't come over. So lucky enough to land myself my first start. I think I played 75 minutes or something. I've never been so tired in my whole life. But we trained at New York Giants all week in their facility. Oh my God, unreal. Absolutely unreal. First Premiership start was a bit of an experience.
Do you think there's much kind of opportunity there for the Premiership to kind of branch out into the US? Or do you think it's not big enough over there yet?
I don't know. It's starting to get some momentum, isn't it? Whether us, or sorry, should I say the Premiership going over and hosting games, or them hosting us Premiership games, sort of helps them build their game a little bit more over there. I don't know, to be honest, but look, sport's huge over there, isn't it? Like, have they got room for another big sport, NFL and basketball and ice hockey? They've got everything, haven't they? So I don't know. I don't know is the answer. I know they were pretty disappointed with the crowds in the 2-3 games that they did have over there. So it's a shame, because it's a hell of an experience for the boys that do get to go out there.
And you said there that your overall time, Cruzy, was plagued by injury, and it was a frustrating time for you. So when you got to WASP, did that sort of drive you on even further to try and, you know, put down a marker and make a statement of what you missed out on?
Yeah, definitely. I think going into that WASP squad was pretty intimidating with the squad that we had at the time. But one thing that was brilliant for me is the fact that we signed Tommy Taylor at the same time. Now, obviously know Tommy from back home, like as you guys probably will. But played with him as well at Sale. And as much as I love Tommy as a player, it made me realise what I need to be to sort of get to where he is, which was brilliant, because I could just attack that pre-season in my head with a really clear target of what I wanted to be as a player. I had, who did I have in front of me? I had Tommy, Ash, and Carlo. Or did they bring Carlo in when I was injured? I can't remember. So yeah, my work was cut out, but one thing that you do know with hookers is they're going to pick up injuries, so you do get an opportunity, which luckily happened.
Because you talk about the going into that squad, and it might have been a bit daunting for you, Tom, but did you really feel at that point that this was a big chance?
Yeah, I think so. I think certainly sort of my thoughts going in are, you don't really get a chance to stop and reflect and think, right, this is my big chance. You rock up and you've got pre-season tests and you've got training and whatnot before games come eventually. And I think it's just sort of, this is certainly my approach, is just to get there and just put my foot down and just give it everything I've got and just see where I land. You know, stood me in pretty good stead so far, and it's just the way that I'll always sort of approach things.
And even right in saying, Cruzy, was your first season the year you got to the final? Or was that a year before?
No, it was the year we got to the final. I was TR in that final. And we also played, I was TR for Leinster away in the European quarterfinals. So close yet so far. But yeah, unbelievable experience, to be fair. Obviously, I think people talk about us being 15 seconds away from winning a Premiership, which was pretty heartbreaking. But when I look back on it, unreal experience. Gutted, obviously, not to be involved in those sorts of games, but when you look back on it, we were brilliant that year. I think we came first that year. We must have lost something like 5 or 6 games all year.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I think emotionally, it's so hard to bounce back from a loss like that in a final.
Yeah, because I saw that, obviously, your first season, you had quite a few appearances off the bench, Cruzy, but the year after, I think you were voted Players' Player of the Year. So was that even more motivation to put your marker down that I mentioned before, that you had a few appearances, you had a taste of it, but you really wanted to go into another gear that sort of season of 2017-18?
Yeah, again, I think it comes a little bit down to perception, doesn't it? I mean, talk about being knocked back, sort of you being your motivation. I thought that I played sort of well enough to maybe get more appearances in my first year. So sort of not getting picked for semi-finals and finals. Don't get me wrong, I'm behind great players. I see as knockbacks. So I turn up the next pre-season, sort of again, chip on shoulder and foot down and see where it lands me. And Tommy had picked up an ACL injury on tour with England. So straight away, I knew the door was open for me to at least get on the bench and sort of get some momentum behind me. But lucky enough, to start the first game against Sale, went pretty well. And then obviously once you're playing well, the shirt's yours, isn't it? And it's, you've just got to sort of hold on to it and play as well as you can.
Yeah, and you mentioned before, obviously, your debut for London Irish was over in America. But what kind of moments stand out for you in a Wasps shirt at the moment, Cruzy?
I've got a few. I think from a selfish point of view, Ulster at home in the European Cup, got man of the match in a Champions Cup game, which was absolutely something that I'm really proud of. And then starting a Premiership semi-final against Saracens away, which is obviously such a tough place to go. So that's a jersey that I've kept and a jersey that I'll cherish. I think I've actually given it to my old man. And apart from that, I don't really look back at many other games. I just look back at players that I've had the chance to play with who have now moved on. And that's something that I'm really, really proud of. Look back at photos and look at the likes of like Willie LaRue, Danny Cipriani, Curtly Beale. I won't mention any of the lads that I play with now because they'll get too big-headed. I'll wait for retirement for that one. So yeah, it's more so experiences, just being able to sort of get to know these guys day in, day out, is makes me, you know, sort of really proud and want me to sort of carry on my career.
Yeah, just sort of on carry on your career, Cruzy. I know you signed a new deal with the club, I think it was last year, was it, if I'm right in saying, or just over a year ago? So, because you seem so settled there, and how determined are you to get the club back to challenging for honours, which they were when you first arrived?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Mark touched on it before about how close we were as a group at the Brad Shields event. Now, that sort of feeling is the this year is the closest that I've had since when I first came. The tightness and like you say, it's no surprise that we've started to win games and sort of win them well and play them with a smile on our face. So I feel like we've turned a corner and we are heading in the right direction to sort of start challenging for top fours again and eventually top twos. And hopefully sort of get our name on some silverware. Yeah, that'd be lovely before retirement.
And you talk positively about sort of your season so far. Mark mentioned that you've been on a good run before what's been going on with the coronavirus and stuff. And obviously health comes first and all the guidelines we're following at the moment takes precedence. But is there a selfish part of you and the boys, Tom, that wish the season was carrying on because you were generating that momentum towards the top four?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Look, it came at an awful time for us because we were flying. But, you know, it seems pretty insignificant, to be honest, when you're looking at actually, you know, what's going on in the real world. We do get caught up in a bubble, don't we? And obviously it's vitally important that we look after ourselves. And I suppose, you know, if we're looking after our bodies and sort of do as we're told at the moment, hopefully we'll be back training and playing sooner rather than later.
Yeah, from that, would you like the season to resume at some point in whatever format possible? Or, you know, like you say, is it not something you're thinking about at the moment? It's about everyone getting well and safe.
Yeah, well, both really, mate. Yeah, I think obviously everyone getting safe and sort of well is the prime sort of area that we need to be looking at the moment. But at the same time, you know, we want to be back playing rugby and sort of want life to be back to normal, don't we? We want to be playing rugby and then back to enjoying ourselves.
Yeah, one of the things you've been enjoying this season, Cruzy, I know we came down to see you guys in pre-season, was the podcast you've got with Josh Bassett. I know you've taken it on the road recently as well, so you're going big time now, aren't you?
Yeah, we trialled a live event at Old Leamingtonians Rugby Club. Is a bit of an after dark event, so there was no phones, no recording going on, and we sort of give it a bit of a title as such on team socials, and we got a few of the lads up on stage, had a few drinks and basically just chewed the fat in front of a few fans, and yeah, it went really well. So hopefully we can get a little bit of momentum behind that and sort of carry on taking it around the affiliated clubs and pubs and get, you know, a bit more interaction with the fans, because at the end of the day, that's what separates rugby from other sports, doesn't it? The fact that we can sort of, you know, the fans can have a bit of contact with players and whatnot, and that's kind of what our target is to do if anything goes. Mm.
And I remember you saying, Cruzy, when we spoke to you in the summer about your podcast, that you wanted it to be number one in the iTunes chart. So I think we've got a bit of competition now, lads, for the Loose Heads one.
As long as it's one of us two, lads, then I'm happy.
Well, I think the next part of our podcast will make us number one. So sorry about that, Cruzy. We're going to move on to your all-time 15 of the year. So I'm going to hand over to my second host, Mark. Mark, this is your time to shine once again.
just before we get onto it, as we've got royalty, Cruzy royalty, in the podcast, it's right that you know we're all spending far too much time indoors, and rightly so. But when we came down to Wasps and did the Brad Shields beard shave, and Tom was so brilliant in hosting the questions, and he is perfectly suited to that role. I'm free for any references and any payment you want to pay me, Cruzy, but you really have got a talent for that stuff. There was in the audience was Grandma Sue, who's a former nurse, and of course my old tennis partner, Granddad Tim, of your kids. And Tim's an anaesthetist. He'll be working every hour God sends at the moment. He'll be coming home drained. And they're the real heroes, probably. And, you know, we talk about, Rob just talked quite eloquently then about, it's nice to speak to rugby players because they are human beings after all. Behind the glass shields and the PPE, if they can get anywhere, I'm sure Tim's having a tough old time. So I want to give a good shout out to him. And when it's all over, I'll take him for a beer, as I'm sure many people will. So I'm sure you will as well, Tom.
Yeah, great words, mate. He's been catching up with Jess and myself a couple of times, but like you say, he's drained and sent us a couple of pictures of pictures of himself in a hazmat suit, which is he's on the front line and he's leading the charge. So he's still got a smile on his face, but he's grafting away, mate. So very kind words. I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, it can only do wonders for his tennis because he was a crap tennis player.
Now, that is true.
Right, back to the point. Like, Cruiser, you know the drill. It's the greatest question alive. But basically, get us all on the same page. The Martians have landed. They've got no coronavirus. They've come to get some of ours. They've challenged us to a game of rugby. We've played rock, paper, scissors to where we play it. We've lost 2-1. We're playing it in Mars. 4-week shuttle. Who's your greatest team?
Mars away is a tough place to go. Let me start with that. Right then. I'm going to start with the pack, which is, I've gone gritty and old school. One thing I'll say is, I'm very much from a footballing background. So this is my era and nothing too old school. So this is probably from like, probably just the professional era. Okay, so
Mark's face sink.
I've already let him down, haven't I? Right then. So front row of Jason Leonard, Steve Thompson, and Adam Jones.
Nice.
Big, gnarly, and look like they're great on the piss. Second row of Backies Bota.
Nice.
Now, we don't know how big these aliens are going to be, and he can certainly break some necks if we need him to. And alongside him is Martin Johnson, for obvious reasons, as skipper. Can't leave him out. Not in my generation, no way. At six, I've got Jerry Collins.
Good shout.
RIP, absolute legend. Made of granite. At seven, Richie McCaw.
Mark doesn't like people picking Richie McCaw, do you, Mark?
I just think it's an obvious choice.
Well, that means that he's the greatest seven ever then, doesn't it?
In your opinion.
And at number eight, I've gone for Wasps, England and rugby legend, Lawrence Dallaglio.
Cool.
Now, I can't be a Wasp player and not pick him at eight.
No.
That would be scandalous. And he deserved his slot there. Right, so I've gone for a pretty gritty pack, but a bit more of an expansive back line, okay? So, scrum half, I've gone for George Gregan. Now, he's the only person in rugby that I know has a pass named after him.
Good answer.
Everybody in the world calls an inside pass off Nina Gregan.
Yeah, Gregan pass, yeah.
We all know that.
I didn't know that, and that's brilliant. That's got to be all our aim, isn't it? Get a pass named after you.
Everybody in the world calls it that. I can't believe you didn't know that.
He used to call it.
Don't pass much in witness.
Up the guts. At number 10, Carlos Spencer.
Oh, great call.
Great. Yeah, absolute flair. Like, I could have gone with, like you say, about Richie McCaw. I could have gone with the obvious choices. Mm. But one thing it has done is left me a little bit without a kicker. But I'll come to that a bit later on. Mm. 11, Jonah Lomu. Very obvious choice. Now, at 12, I needed a bit of French flair, so I went Yannick Jaugeon. Again, I think just with me growing up, he's just someone that stood out to me. And again, wanted a bit of French flair, and he can give us a bit of direct if we need it from 12. 13, Brian O'Driscoll, probably in everybody's. 14, Brian Habana. I nearly put Wendell Saylor. Very nearly. But I didn't want to have... I felt like I needed a bit of balance between my wings with Lomu and Habana. So, be pretty direct having Wendell Saylor and Lomu, wouldn't it? At 15, to bring up sort of a bit more better looks into the team, I've gone with Percy Montgomery as our kicker as well.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like looking at that pack, we might need someone a little bit better looking if we start going out on Mars and, you know, having a few beers and want the girls to come over. On the bench, I've gone with Johnny Wilkinson, just in case Montgomery gets injured. I've gone Wendell Saylor, in case Lomu gets injured. And then I've gone Leone Nakarawa.
Oh, that's a good shout.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, there was a lack of flair in my pack and no Fijians as well, which I thought was disappointing, so I thought I'd get him in. My coach is Sir Alex Ferguson.
And this is where I end the podcast.
Why is that, mate? Go on.
No, I'm a Liverpool fan. So, I have all the respect for Sir Alex. So.
I think you're on with four Liverpool fans here, actually.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're right. Let's end it. My water boy is Tyson Fury. Just in case he needs to come on and knock a few heads together as well. My manager is Liam Gallagher. Again, we need someone to lead the charge, tell a few stories when we're on the shuttle, 4 weeks, long time. And my kit man is, I only know one kit man, and he's Wasp kit man, and he's literally the best kit man in the world, Pudsey Bevan.
I was going to say, I would have been disappointed if he wasn't picked in your team, Cruzy.
Oh, mate, absolute legend. Couldn't speak high enough of him, so he's definitely the best kit man of all time, so he deserves his spot.
So your skipper is Johnson, Martin Johnson, yeah?
Yeah.
And the other second row is Backes Botha, who are going to, I mean, they're very likely to at least get yellowed, if not redded, both of them, within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Front row was Leonard, Adam Jones, and who's your hooker?
Steve Thompson.
Steve Thompson, great call, great call.
Yeah, we're scrumming for pens.
And your back row was or King Lol. You've got to say that, or else you'd be ejected out of Wasps, I guess. But he gets his place. And also a contender for captain.
Yeah.
But it's Johnson. And then you had Richie McCaw and Jerry Collins. Wow. Yeah.
It's physical.
Yeah. Where would you put... I know you've picked... I watched this morning, bizarrely, on Twitter, the try that Carlos Spencer scored for the Blues, where he was there, he was under the sticks, and he ran it out to the side and scored on the touchline, and then took the kick and kicked the kick. And there's only one person in the world that could do that. He started the move, finished it, and kicked it. But similarly, you've chosen Johnny Wilkinson at 10 for your reserve 10 or reserve. Well, reserve kicker, probably, reserve back.
Yeah.
But you haven't put Danny Cipriani in there.
Yeah, Sips, I feel like Sips would struggle at miles away. Tough place to go, bit gritty.
Yeah.
I suppose if you were going to do it, you'd either have Carlos Spencer or Sips, and you'd keep Wilkinson on the bench. You don't want to go Flair starting on the bench.
No, you need Flair solid Flair. Yeah.
But he does rate very highly on the players that I've played with and against. Sips does. What a player.
Who would get, when we win and we walk into the Bears' paw on Mars, who would be the man of the match?
There's a few candidates there, isn't there? Let's be honest. Depends what sort of game we're looking at. They could surprise us, couldn't they? They could be all Jouet, or they could be physical up the guts. I don't know. I'd like to think it'd be a forward.
I would.
And to be honest, I've not picked a front row replacement, so my front rowers are playing 80 minutes as well, so it's likely to be one of those. I thought, no, I'm going to back Adam Jones to get MOM.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is, the Martians are going to have one representation of what life is on Earth. Like what life is like on Earth with that sort of front pack and sort of the flair that you've got as well, and also Liam Gallagher and Tyson Fury as part of the battery stuff.
Quality.
Well, Cruzy, great team, and it's been a really good podcast to chat to you about all things rugby and, of course, loose head. So thanks very much for taking the time out on this Friday afternoon to have a chat with us.
No problem at all, lads. Really enjoyed it.
Good stuff. And as always, to Mark, Rob and Dave, thank you very much for your contributions and time as well.
Yes, guys.
Rob, Just finally from Rob, the socials and the website, which I forgot to do in the last one and had to edit it in myself, and it didn't sound half as good. So Loosehead's website, socials, Rob, so everyone can get in touch over the weekend and further forward.
We are at Looseheads with a Z, and we are at www.looseheads.co.uk.
Great stuff. And that has been the Looseheads podcast in association with Talking Rugby Union. Hope you enjoyed listening and join us next time.